And what happens when we get overstimulated is we need to retreat. So we need to go back into our cave or our little safe place, and or just go to the bathroom and lock ourselves in there and just sit there for a while just to let our nervous system calm back down.
Yeah.
So highly sensitives are prone to overstimulation.
Welcome to Permission to Heal. I am Marcy Brockman, and I am so glad you're here. In this podcast, we engage in meaningful, deeply human conversations, using our voices to inspire connection, compassion, understanding, empathy, and wholehearted wellness. I want you to find the courage to transform yourself no matter what others tell you. Only you can give yourself permission to trust yourself, permission to take care of yourself, permission to follow your heart and desires, and build a life of love, home, and belonging. Through sharing our stories, we will help each other to heal and create the healthy, meaningful lives we richly deserve. We only need our own permission to begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Permission to Heal. I am Marcy Brockman, and I am thrilled that you are here. In today's episode, I have a mindset coach named Jen Turnham. She is just delightful. From Australia, has such an amazing light and spirit to her. We had such an amazing conversation, and there were things about what she talks about that were very enlightening to me. She is a mindset coach and talks about her research into HSP, highly sensitive people. And she has a quiz on her website at jenturnham.com where I took her little quiz and discovered, surprise, surprise, that I am a highly sensitive extrovert. And what this means is that the way I process things is a little different, that there's a depth of processing, there's overstimulation, emotional responsiveness and empathy, and sensitivity to subtleties, DOES or does. And the things that she says are absolutely amazing and totally revolutionary and simple and brilliant. She's on a mission to educate the world about the unique, brilliant, and often misunderstood, very tiny subsection of the population known as highly sensitive extrovert women. She is also determined to unite all HSPE women out there and encourage them to see that they matter, that they have a powerful voice that needs to be heard, and that they possess unique gifts that are in short supply in today's world. It's time for HSPE women everywhere to stop dimming their light and shine their brilliant empathic lights brightly. Jen shares her passionate, quirky, eclectic personality through her blog and in her Facebook group for HSPE women, which I just joined yesterday. Highly sensitive extroverts, bright sparks. With a strong background in applied psychology, Jen has been using her knowledge, training, and experience in helping people use the power of their minds to overcome challenges since 2008. She now focuses on helping HSPE women thrive in a world that currently doesn't quite understand them. She does this through assisting them to their own uniqueness and sees their sensitivity as their superpower. And you know, I always sort of battled with my own understanding of myself. I've always known that I've been an extrovert, and I took the Jung Myers-Briggs personality inventory years ago, and I've learned that I'm an ENFJ, for those of you who are familiar with that, the E meaning extrovert. But as I've gotten older, I started to think that maybe I wasn't as extroverted as I used to be, and that maybe I was growing more introverted tendencies, or that I was sort of straddling introvert-extrovert. And what I've come to realize, and this conversation you're about to listen to that I had with Jen Turnham really started to solidify for me, is that I really am an extrovert, but that I'm a highly sensitive extrovert, so that my perceptions of external stimuli is quite sensitive and turned up a little more than the quote unquote normal, so that I have to pull back and spend quiet time to retreat into my own self and spend time just listening to myself sometimes and shutting out the external world, that my teaching and my podcasting and my need for peopling, as she puts it, is so high, but that it is thrown off balance by my sensitivity towards external stimuli, and that I need to retreat and pull back a bit every now and then in order to recharge, in order to feel balanced and energetic again. So yeah, so listen to this episode. And even if you're not an HSP or you're not an HSPE woman, you probably know somebody who is. And this will help you understand yourself better and love yourself better and help you understand and love your HSPE female friend. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. I am so excited that you are. The Permission to Heal podcast is sponsored by Instacart. If you're anything like me, no matter how you try to schedule your life, you're always super busy. And when it comes to doing errands and grocery shopping, we need a little help. Instacart is here to help us get our essentials delivered in as fast as an hour. It is amazing. With Instacart, you can do all your shopping online at your favorite local stores, grocery stores, pharmacies, Target, Costco, Staples, Sephora, Bed Bath & Beyond, 7-Eleven, even some liquor stores, and an Instacart shopper will shop for you. All of my Instacart shoppers have been super helpful in choosing my items. If the store is out of what I've asked for, the shopper will text me pictures of similar items for me to choose from and will change my bill to reflect the changes. Then the shopper delivers my items directly to my door. And you can choose contactless delivery, which helps keep everyone healthy and safe. I rely on Instacart for grocery shopping every week and sometimes for even my non-prescription drugstore items. Instacart is like having a personal assistant help me with my shopping every week. Get your groceries and essentials delivered in as fast as an hour via Instacart. New customers can get free delivery on your first order of $10 or more. Just click the link below, which will take you directly to Instacart.com so you too can get the help you need. Just click the link below and you can get your groceries and essentials delivered in as fast as an hour via Instacart. New customers can get free delivery on your first order of $10 or more. Instacart.com, your personal and quick shopping assistant. You won't know how you lived without it. Thanks to all of you who support this show on Patreon. You keep Permission to Heal up and running. Permission to Heal needs valued patrons like you. Please go to www.patreon.com/permissiontoheal. After we pay expenses, 25% of what's left over goes to scholarships to transform lives impacted by addiction and substance abuse. Your support is contributing directly to helping people and their families transform and heal from addiction. This is a cause very close to my heart, as my mother died of the effects of opiate addiction, and it tore my family to pieces. Thank you so much for supporting Permission to Heal and my mission to support others through their healing journey through addiction. You are vital to our success. Please consider becoming a patron. Go to www.patreon.com/permissiontoheal, and the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for your continued support. Welcome to Permission to Heal. I am Marcy Brockman. I'm thrilled that you're here. Today we have Jen Turnham, a mindset coach from Australia. So it's 8 p.m. here in New York and 8 a.m. the next day where she is, which I find utterly fascinating. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me. And as I like to say, hello from the future.
I love that. That's awesome. Hello from the future. Hello from the future. She says the next day looks pretty good, so we're set. Yep. We're set. So how are you today? It's a Tuesday really morning good. Where you are and Monday night where I am.
I'm really good, thank you. Yes, I don't think I told you, but at the moment we're traveling around Western Australia in our caravan. So we're experimenting with living on the road.
Really?
So I obviously work from the caravan, and my fiance, he does, we call it FIFO in Australia. I don't know if many Americans have heard of it, but it's fly in, fly out. So he works on a remote gas plant, And so he's going to continue to fly in and fly out while we're on the road. And I just stay in the caravan park while he does his 2 week stints at work. And then he comes home and we travel on to the next place. So
it's
pretty exciting so far. Yeah.
How is that so far, so good. Working for you?
Really good, yes, because I think – and one of the main reasons it works is his roster is really good. So he's on a 2-2-4. So he's on 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 4 weeks off. So in the 4 weeks off, obviously we can do
a
we can
do of traveling.
Yeah, yeah. And I only work part-time, so that means I can kind of fit it in around what we're doing. So, yeah, so far so good. Loving it.
Wow. So you're seeing different parts of Western Australia that you've never seen before?
Yes. Yep. Some of the places we've been to already. So we're going back to, because before we did this, we used to do a lot of traveling in his time off anyway, but we always had obviously a time limit because you have to travel out and then travel back in order for him to go to work. So this is brilliant because we can just keep going. So he just leaves me where we are, goes to work, comes back and meets me, and then we keep going. So we've revisited some of our favourite places, but we're also at the moment about to go into some new places that we haven't been to before. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
So are you in, like, a motorhome or something that you're taking all your stuff with you from place to place?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. She's nodding for those of you who are not doing the video.
So it's a we call them caravans in Australia.
Okay.
But I think you guys, it's not an RV or a motorhome where like the cab is built into, like you drive the whole thing everywhere. It's one that you tow.
Tow
behind the car, which means that you can kind of set it up and then you can go and drive elsewhere and go out and do day trips and stuff in the car. So that makes it a little bit easier because we set up the van and then that becomes our little home, and then we can take little trips around the town and explore and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's really cool.
So do you also maintain a permanent residence somewhere else in Australia, and you're just taking, you know, some subset of your stuff with you as you're traveling?
Yes. So we've got very minimal stuff because we used to travel in a tent, just with the car and the tent. So we became very good at working out, well, what is really necessary and what can you actually live without? So at the moment we've got a place in just south of Perth in Western Australia, and we've got a house sitter who's staying in there at the moment. So she stayed with us a few times and looked after Buddy the dog while we've gone to places where he can't come. And so she's become really trustworthy. And so she's just paying $100, very minimal amount, just to look after the place for us, which meant that we could leave all our furniture. And all we did was kind of pack up all our kind of really personal stuff and put it in a locked room in the house. And so she can have the master bedroom and the ensuite and everything like it's her place. So this is for 7 months while we experiment to see if it works.
Wow.
And then if we continue on, then we might have to look at what we do with the house. We'll keep it, but it's whether we rent it out or.
Sure. Wow. That's very brave of you.
There were a few nerves when we first did it, but it's always been a dream of mine to live on the road and just be able to kind of go and say, oh, this place is great, let's stop here.
Sure.
And then stay for a while, or if you don't really like it, you just stay overnight. Like, it's just always been something I've really wanted to do. And even though we have to plan it a little bit more because I need internet for my business and we have to be in a relatively safe place with all the conveniences while Warren goes and does his 2 week stint at work, it's a little bit more planning than what my dream entailed, but it's still pretty close.
That's very cool. It's cool that you're able to manage that and still keep your jobs and your businesses and so on going, you know. I like that.
And I think that's the advantage, is because a lot of people in Australia do this when they've retired.
Sure.
So we're doing it a little bit earlier than that, and I think keeping the business and his work going enables us to, like, the money just keeps coming in, I suppose, which is usually the biggest challenge when you
of
do
course.
Something like
financial
this.
Stability how do you pay is everything. For it? Yeah. My husband has this dream about getting an RV and doing that around the United States. Of course, by the time we're retired and we can actually do that, I'm not sure we're going to have the energy. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so I usually begin the interviews with the 6 quick questions. Gabs gives the audience, the listeners, and us a little chance to get to know each other better. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. What six words would you use to describe yourself?
Okay. I'd say quirky, unique, passionate, compassionate, empathetic, and resilient.
Excellent. I might use those same six words for myself. Nice. Good. What's your favorite way to spend a day?
Well, we're kind of doing it most days at the moment, which is pretty
I was
cool.
thinking that as I was asking the question.
So I love being in nature, and that's a really big HSP thing as well. We're very connected to nature. So walking along the beach, sitting on the beach, reading, swimming, beach or river. So it doesn't matter as long as there's water that I can swim in, particularly if it gets hot. I need to swim in order to cool down. But yeah, so that's my favorite things to do. And that's one of the reasons why I'm loving this trip so much, because I get to do that more often than I would if I was at home.
Sure, sure. So forgive my naivete here, but we're in the midst of summer in North America. So does that mean that Australia is in the middle of winter or no?
Yes. It is.
And that is the southern reason. Hemisphere.
Yes. And that's another reason why we wanted to do this, is because neither of us really like winter. So you can see I'm in a, for those who are not watching the video, I'm
in
a tank top, a summer top. The sun's shining. It's going to be, I think, 28 or 29 today. And that's because we've come so much further north in Australia. So we're starting to move into kind of more tropical climate. And that's exactly one of the reasons why we did the trip, is so that we didn't have to put up with winter in Perth. But yes, it's technically winter here right now. It just doesn't feel like it.
I understand. There's a musician named Amanda Palmer that I follow on the internet. She's quirky and weird to the nth degree, and I adore her. And she's the beginning of the quarantine a year and a half ago, she got stuck in New Zealand with her son. She was doing a musical tour, and then the shutdown happened globally, and she was stuck in New Zealand and couldn't leave. And so she's been on her Instagram and her Patreon feed, she's been telling us all about what it's been like to raise her kid, because he's starting public school in New Zealand. And so she's got pictures. She's married to Neil Gaiman, the author. And so there's pictures of the three of them bundled in winter coats yesterday. And I was confused for a second until I realized Southern Hemisphere, different season.
Yeah. And I suppose if you were going to get stuck somewhere, New Zealand isn't such a bad place to get stuck.
It's so like a wonderland. It's gorgeous.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's virtually COVID free.
Yes, exactly. Like us here in Australia. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's a wonderful experience for her son as well to kind of experience all those new things and different way of life. And
exactly. Yeah, it's going to be sort of, he's four, I think. So it's going to be like a rude awakening going back to New York or London. I don't know. Anyway, enough about them. What's your favorite childhood memory?
Well, interestingly, given what I'm doing now, it was camping. So my mum and dad.
Jen, there you go.
Funny that. So camping with my mum and dad, and they had a very simple setup. So we had a station wagon. I'm not sure what you call those in America,
but
it's like
wagon.
You can put the seats down. And so me and my brother used to be our bed. You put the back seats down and we'd sleep in the back of that. And mum and dad had a rooftop tent that would come off the top of the car, and then that's where they would sleep. And it was by the beach. And yeah, there was one particular place where we used to go quite regularly. And yeah, that's some of my best memories are just, doing the camping and exploring.
That's cool. I like that. I like that. Oh, I'm hearing some wind. Is that on your end?
It might be a car. Sorry, there's one of the neighbors. It sounds like they're moving out of the caravan.
Oh, okay. As long as I know what it is, we're good. It's all fine. It's all fine. Let's get to number four. What's your favorite meal?
This is, I had to think about this one. It's probably my mum's nasi goreng. Now, my mum's Welsh, so she shouldn't be able to cook cook Nasi Goreng very well, but she did. And I think it's made all the more special now that I can't have it anymore because mum's no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And her... Thank you. And her homemade self-sourcing chocolate pudding for dessert. So that for our birthdays, Mum used to ask me and my brother, what do you want for dinner? So on our actual birthday, she would cook whatever we wanted. And I always asked for Nasi Goreng with
I don't know what Nasi Goreng pudding. Is.
Essentially, it's fried rice.
Okay.
But it's a particular way of doing it. So we have it often when we go to Bali. So it's just got really nice flavouring. It's got some veggies through it. They usually crack an egg and put it on the top so it fries a little bit. It's just really tasty
Sounds
dish.
Delicious.
If you do it well. If you don't do it well, it's not so good.
Not so good. It's just eggs and rice like at that rice. Point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice. Okay, number five. What one piece of advice would you like to give your younger self?
I would like to tell young Jen, you are different to most people, and that's okay. The sooner you can learn to embrace that and stand proud in your uniqueness, the better off you will be.
Brava. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I think we spend way too much time, especially as women, comparing ourselves against other people and sort of berating ourselves silently, maybe not so silently, for not being like other people, especially as adolescents. I think we all want to fit in rather than be comfortable embracing our weirdness, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's adolescence, as you say, is probably the hardest time for people like me. And as we now know, you, HSPs, which we'll talk about soon.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, it's a very difficult time because most of us grow up thinking that there's something wrong with us because we are different. So I just would love to just embrace that young Jen and say, but that's a good thing. Like, it's good to be different. It's good to be unique. And I don't know if it would have made any difference at the time because you still got to fit in. You've still got to get through those teenage years. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's what I would love to impart to her if I had the opportunity.
It would be very cool. That would take a very big time shift.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me know if you ever learn how to do that one.
I will. I really, if I had a superpower, I would want teleportation. Forget the time thing. I just want to be at a different place on this planet just by thinking about it. You know?
That would be cool. Yes,
that would be very cool. Phenomenal.
You could come visit Australia.
I could. We could be sitting in your caravan right now.
We could, yes.
That would be great. Would that be? And then we could go to Paris for dinner or whatever.
Yes. Please.
Whatever. And you'd never need to pack because you could get wherever you wanted at a moment's notice. So you'd never have to worry about the burden of carrying your luggage because that...
Yeah, now that's an added bonus I had never thought of about teleportation. I love that. You could just pop back to the caravan, get dressed for dinner, pop to Paris.
Go wherever you want. I forgot my bathing suit. I want to go swimming. Pop back. There we go.
Love it. So cool.
If only. All right. Well, maybe this is the answer to number six. What's the one thing you would most like to change about the world? We need teleportation.
Yeah, somebody please invent it or figure out how we can do it.
Right.
Not quite. That would be fun. My thing that I'd most like to change is a little more heavy and serious, I suppose.
I'm sure.
But interestingly, when you asked me this question, if you'd asked me a couple of months ago, it's like it's shifted basically. So a couple of months ago, I would have said the lack of care for the planet, which is our home basically.
Sure.
And because I think that there's a lot of people out there who don't realize that the Earth, the planet, will survive. The human race that's going to die out.
Right.
So I quite often, when I post stuff on Facebook and things like that, I always try and remind them, like, do it for your grandkids or your grandkids' grandkids. It's not about recycling for you. It's about saving the planet for the future generation. So that's what I am still passionate about. But in the last couple of weeks, one of the things that's really concerned me is just how disconnected, insensitive, intolerant and unaccepting we seem to have become and becoming more so by the minute, because the hatred that I'm seeing on Facebook at the moment for anyone's whose beliefs differ from their own is just really, really sad, and I just fear for the future. I do have – it all sounds a bit doom and gloom. It is something that I am really concerned about, but I have this friend who kind of – her faith is giving me faith, because she has faith that we're going to come full circle. We're going to come through this. We're going to become more connected than ever. And I'm just using her faith to kind of prop me up at the moment when I have those moments of going, what is happening to people? Yeah. Like, why? It's just, obviously, you know, the issue I'm talking about. I don't really want to get into it, but it's just so divisive. And I just don't understand what happened to, well, that's your choice. That's your choice. We have different beliefs. We have different opinions. And yet people are hating on each other for that. I see people saying, if you went to, because in Sydney they had a, I think it was a lockdown protest a couple of days ago. And I've seen people saying, if you went to the lockdown protest, get off my friends list. Like, just really extreme stuff. And I just think it's really sad that we seem to have lost that. We're all humans. We're all in this together. And it's, yeah,
I agree.
Disheartening at the moment.
And I don't know what's caused it. Because I had this feeling, like, I'm 53, so I was born in 68. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I have, I don't know if it's incorrect, but I've had this perception that people could get along who had differing opinions. You know, you might vote one way, I might vote another. You might have your passion causes, and I might have mine, and maybe none of our stuff agrees, but we can have coffee together and live next door to one another and be fine. And I don't know whether that was my own naivete for being young and oblivious, or if that was the truth. But it seems that in the last, I don't know, 10 years-ish, I don't think it's been longer, somehow, like you said, we're more divisive than we've ever been before. And intolerant and inflexible and entrenched in our own opinion. And unless that's mirrored back, we're very, very cavalier about dismissing those people from our lives, even if they've been in our lives for decades. I'm hoping it's a pendulum shift and that then it'll come back center at some point.
Yeah, me too. Because it feels like we've lost, because I think what you're saying was so true. People used to still be able to connect at a human to human level.
Right.
And that seems to be what's gone. It's like we've forgotten that, hang on, this is another human in front of me. This is another human with goals and dreams and desires and opinions that might be different to mine, but at the end of the day, we're all human, and that seems to be the piece that has been forgotten about, which
is
sad.
We all have the same goal, regardless of the color of our skin or the way we vote or our opinions about global climate change. Doesn't matter. We all want the same things for ourselves and our children. And I don't know how we've gotten to where we are, but I'm hopeful that conversations like these, amongst others, will go towards bridging the gap between us. I'm hopeful. Fingers crossed.
Yes, me too. I have faith that it's not all lost, but I have some concerns at the moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you've mentioned HSP several times, highly sensitive extroverts, highly sensitive people, right? HSP.
Yes.
Could you explain that for our listeners? Make sure I understand it correctly.
Sure. So HSP, it's an innate temperament. So you're either born a HSP or you're not. The scientific name for it is sensory processing sensitivity. I prefer HSP because if I say to you, I'm a HSP versus I have SPS.
Right.
Like if I say I have SPS, it sounds like there's something wrong with me. Whereas if I say I'm a HSP, I'm just a slightly different version of a human than you are.
It's just a character trait.
Yeah, exactly. So our brains are wired differently. And the thing is, as I said, we are born that way. So it's not as though you can become a HSP or you can develop out of it. You are or you are not. Much to some people's disappointment, but that's part of why I'm here doing this, is because I'm trying to show HSPs out there that they are amazing and they have these wonderful strengths that the world really needs. So one of the reasons why HSPs sometimes wish they weren't is because they are a minority. So it's about 15 to 20% of the population are HSPs. And here's where it gets interesting. Of those 15 to 20%, so about one in five people you meet will be a HSP. Of those 15 to 20%, 70% of them are introverts. And when I describe the traits of HSP, you'll see that that makes more sense because the two traits are quite in line with each other, which means only 30% are extroverts. So HSP extroverts are a minority within a minority. And that equates to, so basically 30% of the 15 to 20%, took me a while to figure out the maths, but I've memorized it now. So it works out
about
6% of the population would be highly sensitive extroverts.
Hello,
and so 6%. That's about one in 20. Yay! And I love that. I love that we're so unique. And for the listeners, Marcy, we figured out, is a highly sensitive extrovert as well.
I took her free quiz on her website, which I'm going to link to the show notes. And it only took a few minutes. I answered a few questions. And then her website emailed me back and it said, congratulations, you are an HSP extrovert. So,
woohoo! I love meeting new HSP extroverts. Well, not new, but newly discovered HSP extroverts. So we are a minority within a minority. So all HSPs, not just HSP extroverts, grow up often thinking that there's something wrong with us. And it's not that. It's just we're different. Our brains are hardwired differently. So growing up as a minority, as any minority group can say, there are challenges that go with that because people don't understand you, you're different, you do things differently, and so it can be quite challenging. But the four main criteria of being a HSP is, it's an acronym, so it's DOES, DOES, and that stands for depth of processing, overstimulation, emotional responsiveness, reactivity, and empathy, and sensitive to subtleties. So I'll give you the brief rundown of this because I do have a discovery info session that people can check out if they want more info.
Excellent.
So D, depth of processing, is essentially our brains are on all the time. Mm-hmm. So the term overthinker would definitely be used to describe HSP, haven't me. So depth of processing, what that really means is, and everybody does depth of processing. So all human beings have depth of processing, but HSPs do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So the difference is, let's say you're trying to remember a phone number. Shallow processing or normal processing would just be repeating that phone number over and over again. Depth of processing would be looking for patterns, looking for meaning, going, oh, I had a friend who had a phone number like that before. Oh, yeah, that's actually a little bit like my birthday. And then like just round and round and round and deeper and deeper and
coincidences
deeper.
Coincidences like in numerous, in numbers.
Exactly, all those little links. And HSPs often describe it as we can go down a rabbit hole pretty easily because we just keep going and going and going with our processing. So you can imagine that that's quite exhausting to be processing everything at such a deep level all the time.
Sure.
So that's the depth of processing. Overstimulation, which we talked about briefly before we jumped on, basically, our nervous system is more reactive. So things like crowds, noises, even long commutes, even I remember going to a free conference type thing one day and it was supposed to finish at 5 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're still going. I'm almost dying in the audience because it's just too much. I'm like, I've got to get out of here.
Right.
So we get overstimulated. And what happens when we get overstimulated is we need to retreat. So we need to go back into our cave or our little safe place and or just go to the bathroom and lock ourselves in there and just sit there for a while just to let our nervous system calm back down.
Yeah.
So highly sensitives are prone to overstimulation. Emotional responsiveness, reactivity, and empathy. Empathy is pretty obvious to most people. So we can empathize with other people. And the science shows that HSPs mirror neurons in their brain are more active than a non-HSP. So a mirror neuron is essentially, if you watch somebody kicking a soccer ball, the same neurons fire in your brain as though your body is kicking that soccer ball. So it's the same with emotions. And so the science shows that HSPs, mirror neurons, are more active, which means we can have greater empathy for other people.
Too bad I can't have my body won't get the benefit of the exercise of the other person kicking the soccer ball.
Well, there is actually some science suggests that it does.
Really?
Like if we, yes.
We should watch soccer games.
Around that. So they say that that whole visualization process is very powerful in terms of building up like muscle memory and all of that sort of stuff. Huh. I imagine that you probably has to go hand in hand with actually kicking a soccer ball as well. I don't know if you can become a brilliant soccer player just by visualizing kicking
probably
a ball.
Not.
It does add to the skill and it does increase people's abilities. So that's really interesting side note there.
Certainly.
But the emotional responsiveness and reactivity, what that means is that our emotions are more pronounced than non-HSPs. So if you imagine a little graph that's demonstrating the ups and downs of the moods of the general population, and then if you put a HSP's moods on it, the peaks and the troughs would be much greater. Mm-hmm. So our emotions are more pronounced, which you will see in a HSP extrovert more because we're more externally focused. So you're more likely to see it on our face, whereas the HSP introverts, it would all be happening internally. Mm-hmm. But our moods are, so a lot of HSPs have been considered for bipolar. I'm sure some of them are potentially misdiagnosed as having bipolar, but they're not. It's just our reaction. And I remember my dad telling me years ago, he said, I really struggle. My dad's a very, very introvert. So on the spectrum, he's like one end of the, on the continuum, he's one end of them. And he said, oh, I just really struggle with your emotions because my highs are really high, but my lows right. are pretty low too. Yep. And so that's one of the things that also highly sensitive extroverts, people respond to is our enthusiasm and our excitement is contagious because it is so much more out there than a non-HSP. And then the final criteria is sensitive to subtleties. So we pick up on things that non-HSPs just don't even notice. So we're the ones who'll say, oh, have you had a haircut? Or you've changed your hair colour, or you've shaved off your beard, all those sorts of things, because we notice those things. We also notice to the point where there's subtle changes in facial expression, in tone mm-hmm. of voice. So a lot of HSPs, well, one of the strengths of being a HSP is our intuition, and that's because our brain is taking in so much more
sure.
and processing so much more. But then that's also one of the challenges because a lot of HSPs learn to or start to ignore their intuition and they go, nah, that can't be right. So that kind of gut feeling, like when you mm-hmm. meet somebody, I've had lots of experiences where I've met someone and something just seems a little bit off.
Yeah.
We need to listen to that because that's our sense of subtleties picking up on something that we need to listen to.
Yeah,
but quite often,
I've met people even 30 seconds into knowing them and I'm all right, I can't even continue this. And I find a way out. It's just incongruous, doesn't fit. And I feel like their energy is just wrong for me.
Yep, exactly. And because what you're probably picking up on is the incongruence in what they're saying versus their facial expressions and their tone of voice, all those little subtleties that a non-HSP, it would just go over their head. They just wouldn't even be aware of it. So that's also one of
this olfactory component as well. There have very few times in my life, but there have been a few people whom I've met whose body composition has an odor that I pick up that I find repellent.
Wow, that's really cool.
And I've just not been able to be anywhere near them because I just can't. And they don't smell. They're not dirty. There's no BO thing. It's just a chemical pheromone something that I'm able to pick up on. It's weird. Mm-hmm.
That's actually really cool. And that would be part of the sensitive to subtleties of a HSP. But I guess you're perhaps more aware of that or more developed in that area because I've never consciously known it's been that, but that would be a part of it for sure.
Weird. Interesting.
Very cool. So that's the DOES criteria. So depth of processing, overstimulation, empathy, emotional responsiveness, reactivity, and sensitive to subtleties. So if you fit all of those, if you tick all of those boxes, mm-hmm. you're a HSP.
And knowing this, what does this do for us?
Okay, well, I think one of the best things about knowing it is because self-understanding is quite often what comes before self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I think if we know these things about ourselves, it's like, I know for me, it was the final piece of the puzzle when I discovered, I've always known I was an extrovert, but when I came across HSPs, I went, oh my gosh, oh, finally, everything makes sense.
Sure.
And I think once we recognize that, particularly for HSPs, because they think there's something wrong with them most of the time, knowing that it's a thing to be a HSP mm-hmm. allows a lot of people to go, oh, okay, so I'm not weird. I'm not abnormal. There isn't something wrong with me. I'm just HSP and I'm different and that's right. okay. So I think it kind of almost is the start of a healing journey for a lot of HSPs.
I agree. I was telling you before, I've taken the Jung Myers-Briggs personality inventory many times, and I always come out with an ENFJ, and the E is extrovert. And then as I've aged, you know, you start ruminating, thinking about things over and over and over again. And I was sort of having trouble reconciling the extrovert because I have these tendencies where I feel overwhelmed and I have to be by myself, or I'm really looking forward to going to this party and then I get there and a little while later I either have to leave or hide in the kitchen or something, or leave if I can't, you know, if it's not at my house, or like if I'm out at a place, like you said, a convention or a public celebration of some sort, and I get to the point where it feels like there's too much emotion. There's too many things, too much noise, too much stimulation. And I started to think that maybe that meant that I really wasn't as extroverted as I thought. I don't know. I was just trying to make sense out of it myself. And then I came across your research and I thought, now this makes sense.
Yes, exactly. And what you describe is so common for HSP extroverts because the way I like to describe HSP extroverts is we are walking contradictions. Mm-hmm. Because as you've just heard me describe the HSP trait, a lot of it is very similar to introverts. So it mm-hmm. kind of makes sense that most HSPs are also introverts. But then when you add extrovert to the HSP mix, things get really quite messy and contradictory. And so what you describe is so common because and I think what happens is as we get older, we get more in touch with what we want and what our needs are. Whereas mm-hmm. when we're in our teenage years and in our 20s, we kind of go with the flow and we just push through that sort of stuff. Whereas as we get older, we start noticing, oh, well, actually this concert, I love going to concerts, but I really need more downtime afterwards than most people would. And so that's basically we're starting to honour our HSP side more, because in HSP extroverts, it's basically the biggest challenge they have is finding the balance mm-hmm. between, because extroverts are externally focused, they need people, they get energy from external variety, stimulating environments, but as we've just talked about, overstimulation. So what happens with HSP extroverts is their extrovert side goes, oh, I need to go out. I need to do this. I need some excitement. I need some variety. I need some people. I call it peopling. Extrovert side goes peopling. Then HSP side goes,
peopling.
No. Peopling. I need some peopling. And then HSP side goes, too much, and then has to kind of
sure.
retreat and recover because they become overstimulated. So it's this constant kind of push-pull uh-huh. between our HSP side and our extrovert side. And that's why many of them, before they discover HSP extrovert, they call themselves an introverted extrovert or an ambivert. Mm-hmm. So I reckon a lot of ambiverts or people who claim to be ambiverts, because I don't believe it's a thing, the research suggests it's not a thing, but I think a lot of them are HSP extroverts. It's that whole as we've just described.
Sure.
We have introverted tendencies, which is our HSP side, needing respect and needing time. But then our extrovert side comes out and goes, nah, it's time to go people again. So
right.
that's the ongoing battle that HSP extroverts have.
Yeah. I want to be home. I want to be by myself. But don't leave me alone. I don't want to be by myself. Let's go out. No, I'm not sure. Are there people out there? That's a good thing. Maybe not. It's like a constant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I think once you understand that, it's easier to reconcile that too, because you can go, oh, okay, my extrovert side needs some peopling, and you can respect that and you can go out. But then instead of beating yourself up or feeling like there's something wrong with you because you can't cope with perhaps a whole night at the pub with your friends, you might only cope with a few hours, then you can just go, oh, well, this is just my HSP side saying, come on, enough's enough, I need some time out. So it becomes a little bit easier to normalize it, I suppose, rather mm-hmm. than think, oh, because one of my clients, the biggest thing she struggled with is the whole comparison that you mentioned earlier. We grow up quite often comparing ourselves. And because she knows she's an extrovert, she only recently discovered she was a HSP. Her constant battle was, she's a makeup artist by trade, and so she needs all these people. And she loves seeing her clients and chatting with them, but then she couldn't understand why she couldn't then go home and do all the work that needed to be done as all the follow-up. And it's because she needed the time out from spending a day chatting to mm-hmm. clients. And her biggest frustration was, she would look at or watch other makeup artists who are extroverts and kind of be like, well, why can't I do that? Or why do I have these challenges? And she started again to think that there was something wrong with her. And so a big chunk of the work we did was getting her to understand the two sides, the contradictory sides of her personality,
sure.
so that she could then respect both of them and also stop comparing herself to everybody else who is not like her. One of the little phrases I like to say to HSP extroverts is, comparison is the thief of joy. So if we're constantly comparing, then we're never going to find joy, because there's always somebody who's doing it different, doing it better. We want to be like, whereas if we stop comparing and just respect who we are and what our challenges and limitations are, we're going to find much more peace and much more joy.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, I've been working at entrepreneurship for quite a few years now, trying to start an art business and get the podcast going. And I wrote a couple of books and I have a course that's out there. Like, you know, I'm just trying to like build a community, and I hear, you know, consistency will get you there over time, right? And I have trouble. I've had to reconcile that my consistency looks different than other people's consistency, that I can't do it every day. I have to allow myself some whole entire days where all I do is retreat. And then I can go back the next day and I can put the irons in the fire and work from morning till night, and I'm fine. But I can't do too many days like that before I have to completely retreat again. And I have chosen to just not feel bad about it anymore, because there's no point in feeling bad about it. That's just who I am. That's what my consistency looks like. Might be different than your consistency or someone else's consistency, but that doesn't matter, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's brilliant that you said, I have chosen to not feel bad about it, because I think there's so much information out there. Like, even where you learnt, consistency is key. There's a lot of gurus out there or people selling courses out there that this is the way to success. And we're kind of bombarded with all this information that if you don't do this, you're a failure. If you're not consistent, you won't be successful. Or if you don't do an 80-hour week, your business is never going to take off. And so there's so much information that then makes us feel like failures. And I think it's so key, particularly for HSP extroverts, because we've got those competing priorities within us, mm-hmm. to learn what works for us and to, as you say, choose not to feel bad about it and instead flip our thinking and kind of go, we're respecting our needs are different to others, And we just do it differently. We're still doing it, but we're just doing it differently to other people. And that's okay.
Right. The only way it's going to work for me is if I do it in a way that's true to who I am and my chemical makeup, my neuro, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a scientist. It is just what it is, you know? And so for anybody who's listening, the way you're doing your life, if it works for you, then hug yourself because that's great. You found a way that works for you. Stop fighting yourself. You know, I mean,
exactly. And I guarantee you, if you push and you do like what you were saying, consistency, if I push myself to do this every single day and I don't respect my need for downtime and my need to recover, I guarantee you, you're going to end up burnt out.
Sure.
And then you can't do it anymore. It's not about wanting or not wanting, it's you physically can't because you've burnt yourself out. So that's also what I like to highlight to my clients and anybody listening to this is if you don't learn to respect and choose what works for you,
right,
you're going to end up not being able to do anything because your body will just kind of go into burnout, emotional crisis, and it will just shut down. And then you're pretty much left with weeks and months of recovery, during which time you're not going to be able to do much at all. So that's kind of the alternative that I like to highlight because
exactly.
You don't want that. You want to just be consistent for you. What works for you, as you say, is the key.
And with the mind-body connection, it's impossible to ignore that if you get yourself to that burnout level, your immune system is going to suffer and you could very well get sick, which is why I've had this sinus infection for the last 3 weeks because school ended. I'm a public school teacher during the school year. School ended at the end of June and I felt something brewing and I ignored it and I had international travel planned with my family and then a family wedding in Florida in the southern part of the United States. And for 3 weeks we were traveling and I wasn't giving myself any downtime and I wound up on antibiotics again and still trying to get rid of this sickness, which is causing me to take much more downtime than I probably would have required had I been able to do this all along. But
exactly. Prevention is better than cure, as they say. And just what you said about travel, that's another thing I wanted to mention that HSP extroverts often struggle with. We love traveling because our extrovert side loves variety and new experiences. But what we often struggle with, because our HSP side is very caring and very others focused, we worry too much about saying no or taking a break because we don't want to disappoint the people that we're with. Mm-hmm. So one of the big lessons for HSP extroverts is learning to take that time out, as you say, as you're doing it rather than when it's too late. So it's okay to say, I can't do that now. I need to go to bed for the afternoon and read a book or just laze by the pool. And in fact, one of my really good friends, her relationship just broke down or broke up because he couldn't respect her needs. So in the beginning, because she's HSP, but she's also got a chronic illness. So, and so do I, so I can relate to this, but basically she, in the honeymoon phase, obviously everybody's excited and they want to see each other all the time and they're going out doing all these things. But then as you settle into the relationship, she started to then become more aware of her body's physical limitations. And so she started to say, no, I can't do that or I can't do that. And then he essentially was very needy, obviously, because he couldn't cope with that. He couldn't cope with her saying, no, I won't come to Bunnings with you. You just head down the hardware store yourself. So she, and the relationship ended up breaking up. And she did, she said to me when I spoke to her last time, she said, Jen, like, how does it work with you and Warren, my fiance? Because I have a chronic illness as well, and I'm a HSP, so I need a lot more downtime. And I said, well, for starters, you need somebody who's independent enough to go and do their own thing. So they're not relying on you to be there to be their peopling, because if you're their peopling, then you're in trouble. But it is just about, yeah, respecting that if you don't take breaks now, the consequences are going to be worse. And it's about honoring that as a HSP, because other people don't know what's happening within you. So you can't rely on them to say, go take a break. You need to stand up for your own needs and say, I need to take a break. And as you say, if you'd done that on your trip a little bit more, you probably would have not got sick. And sure. But then it's also that internal battle, because our extrovert side gets all excited and wants to go out to dinner and do all the social things. And sure. So it is really a constant battle
it's
that
constant
we have.
Constant battle. I think my relationship with my husband works as well as it does. And he hasn't taken your quiz, but based on his personality and how well I know him, my guess is that he's an HSP, but he's an introvert. And he's, for the Jung Myers-Briggs thing, he's an INFJ. So the NFJ part is the same with us, but he's definitely an introvert. And so I think that makes us highly compatible, because he's just as sensitive, I think, but needs his alone time and needs downtime and doesn't need the amount of peopling I need. So if we're going to go out and people, it's going to be because of me most of the time. And then whenever we want to leave or not do anything, it's totally fine with him. So <Yep. laughs> it works out well.
Yeah, I think for HSP extroverts, I think if you tried to be with somebody who is just an extrovert without the HSP, that would probably be the most challenging. Yeah. Whereas if you're HSP extroverts, if you're with another HSP who's an introvert or an extrovert, any other HSP, I think you could potentially make it work. There are obviously other sure. things like values lining up and things like that. But if we're just talking personality, but even just introverts, because Warren is an introvert, he's not a HSP. So he does struggle a little bit with understanding my sensitivity, but he respects it. And he respects when I explain things to him. But because he's an introvert, similar to what you're saying, like if I've had enough at a party, he's more than happy to head home as well. Whereas if you're with an extrovert, no HSP
never wanna go.
Involved. Yeah, exactly. That would be a constant battle between you and them, as well as the internal battle you've got going on. So,
yeah, that's
and
just
in
too
fact,
much.
Their extroversion would potentially drag you along, because your extrovert side would get caught up with the excitement. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to end up more burnt out quicker if you're not strong enough to respect that kind of HSP side of you.
So respect your HSP.
Yes, that's key.
It's our superpower, right?
It is, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So you have a free HSP info session available on your website?
Yes. So I'll give you the link in the show notes.
JenTurnham.com. Yeah, so that'll all be in the show notes. And you have a Facebook group, yes? For
yes.
HSPE women?
Yes. Yep, so the info session is kind of more detail about what we've just gone through. So
okay.
More detail about the DOES criteria, the differences between introverts and extroverts, the strengths of HSP extroverts and the main challenges of HSP extroverts and some tips to overcome. So that's all in the info session, which is free. And it's kind of on demand. You don't have to book a webinar time and then wait for that webinar time.
Okay.
Just sign up.
It's whenever
and you
they
can
want.
Watch it. Yeah. And my free group have got almost 700 HSP extrovert women in there.
Wow.
And they're an amazing bunch of women. And one of the things that I've learned through doing this work is one of the best things a HSP extrovert woman can do is hang out with other HSP extrovert women, because I get so much feedback from the ladies that I finally find a place where I feel like I belong. People understand
nice.
Me. I don't have to explain myself because we're different. And mm-hmm. So a lot of us go through our lives feeling we have to explain ourselves. And they just love that there's that sense of community and sense of just acceptance, because we're all on the same page. So if you are listening to this and you think you might be HSP extrovert, I'd love to have you join the group.
Awesome. Excellent. So I'll put the links to all of that down below. So if you're listening to this or you're watching it on YouTube, just scroll down and all the links will be there. Excellent. Well, this has been lovely, Jen. This
yes,
has just
has.
Been
thank
such a nice conversation, and thank you for the glimpse into Tuesday.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on somebody else's podcast, but particularly if they're a HSP extrovert, then I always have so much fun. So thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. It's been lovely.
Every one of us has an interesting and inspiring story to tell.
Hello, I am Marcy Brockman, author, artist, English teacher, and podcaster. My memoir, Permission to Land, Searching for Love, Home, and Belonging, is my story of surviving mental illness and addiction to build a beautiful life for myself and my children. And check out the companion guided journal, Permission to Land, Personal Transformation Through Writing. Both are available wherever books are sold online, and signed copies are available at my website, marcybrockman.com. Taking my mission of sharing stories worldwide is my hit podcast, Permission to Heal. Each episode provides inspiration and connections as we learn to give ourselves permission to heal. New episodes drop every Wednesday. Find Permission to Heal everywhere you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. Find me, my books and podcast, and so much more at marcybrockman.com. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Permission to Heal. I hope you found it moving and inspirational. Please remember, you don't need anyone else's permission to trust and follow your heart. You have the power within you. Subscribe to Permission to Heal so you don't miss any new episodes, and please share this with your friends.